from a spectator's point of view, Damage's special attraction was that the closer you stood to the emotor unit of any particular player, the more of the emotions they were experiencing affected you directly too. A whole subculture of people hooked on such third-hand feelings had grown up in the few hundred years since Damage had become such a select but popular game. The Moties. There were other groups playing Damage. The players of the Eve of Destruction were simply the most famous and the richest. The Moties could get their emotional fix in lots of places throughout the galaxy, but only in a full game, only on the edge of annihilation, only with the very best players, plus a few hopefuls, could the most intense experiences be obtained. It was one of these unfortunates Horza had impersonated when he had discovered that an access pass could not be had for less than twice the amount of money he had made on the shuttle. Bribing a door guard had been a lot cheaper. The real Moties were packed tightly behind the fence separating them from the lives. 16 clumps of sweating, nervous-looking people, like the game players, mostly male, they jostled and pressed forward, trying to get near to the table, near to the players. Horza watched them as the cards were dealt by the chief Ishlosin army. Moties jumped up and down, trying to see what was happening, and the security guards fitted with baffle helmets to keep out the emotor pulses patrolled the perimeter of the fence, tapping nervoprods on their thighs or palms and watching warily.
"Sable the eye,"
somebody nearby said, and Horza turned to see. A cadaverous-looking human, lying on a couch behind and to Horza's left, was talking to another and pointing up to the terrace where the disturbance had occurred a few minutes earlier. Horza heard the words Sable and Caught a few more times from elsewhere around him as the news spread. He turned round to watch the game as the players started to inspect their hands. The betting began. Horza thought it was a pity the reporter had been caught, but it might mean that the security guards relaxed a little, giving him a better chance of not being asked for his pass. Horza was sitting a good 50 meters from the nearest player, a woman whose name he had heard mentioned but had forgotten. As the first hand progressed, only mild versions of what she was feeling and was being made to feel impinged upon his consciousness. Nevertheless, he didn't enjoy the sensation and switched on the lounger's battlefield, using the small control set on one arm of the couch. Had he wanted, he could have cancelled the immediate effect of the player he just happened to be sitting behind and substituted the effects of any of the other emotor units on the table. The effect would have been nothing like as intense as what the Moties or the lives were experiencing, but it would certainly have given a good idea of what the players were going through. Most of the other people around him were using their lounger's controls in that way, flicking from one player to another in an attempt to judge the overall state of the game. Horza would concentrate on Kraiklin's broadcast emotions later, but for now he just wanted to settle in and get the general feel of the game. Kraiklin dropped out of the first hand early enough to be sure of avoiding losing a life when it finished. With so few lives of his own, it was the wisest course unless he had a very strong hand. Horza watched the man carefully as he sat back in his seat and relaxed, his emotor unit dormant. Kraiklin licked his lips and wiped his brow. Horza decided in the next hand he would eavesdrop on what Kraiklin was going through, just to see what it was like. The hand finished. Wilgra won. He waved, acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Some Moties had fainted already. At the other end of the ellipsoid, in its cage, the Rogathur snarled. 5 players lost lives. 5 seated humans, sitting hopeless and despairing as the effects of the emotor fields still resounded in them, went suddenly slack in their chairs as their helmets sent a neural blast through their skulls, strong enough to stun the lives sitting around them and to make the nearest Moties and the player each life belonged to flinch. Ishlosin army undid the restrainers on the dead human seats and carried them away down the access ramp. The remaining lives gradually recovered, but they sat as listless as before. The Ishlosin army claimed they always checked that each volunteering life was genuine and that the drugs they gave them simply stopped them from becoming hysterical. But it was rumoured that there were ways round the Ishlosin army screening process, and that some people had succeeded in disposing of their enemies by drugging or hypnotizing them and volunteering them for the game. As the second hand began, and Horza switched on his couch monitor to experience Kraiklin's emotions, the white-haired woman came back down the aisle and resumed her place in front of Horza, at the front of the terrace, draping herself tiredly over the piece of furniture as though she was bored. Horza did not know enough about Damage as a card game to be able to follow exactly what was going on with the cards, either by reading the various emotions being passed around the table, or by analysing each hand after it was finished, as the first hand was already being analysed by the hooting tripeds near him, when the cards, as they had been dealt and played, were flashed up on the arena's internal broadcast circuits. But he tuned into Craiklin's feelings just to see what they were like. The captain of the Clear Air Turbulence was being hit from various directions. Some of the emotions were contradictory, which Hawser guessed meant that there was no concerted effort being made on Craiklin. He was just taking most people's secondary armament. There was a considerable urge to like Wilgra, that attractive blue colour, and with those four little comical feet he couldn't really be much of a threat, and a bit of a clown, really, for all his money. The woman sitting on Craiklin's right, on the other hand, stripped to the waist with no breasts and a sheath for a ceremonial sword slung across her naked back. She was one to watch. But it was a laugh, really. Nothing really matters. Everything is just a joke. Life is, the game is, one card's pretty much like another when you kind of think about it. For all it matters, might as well throw the lot in the air. It was nearly his turn to play. First that flat-chested bitch. Boy, did he have a card he was going to hit her with. Hawser switched off again, unsure whether he was hearing Craiklin's own thoughts about the woman or one somebody else was trying to get him to think about her.